look a lot like Christmas.
I'm Lori McCandish King, reporting from San Francisco in excited anticipation of the kickoff for the 2016 holiday season. And boy, do we need a holiday season this year. I'm at Embarcadero Center and have the opportunity to talk with Danny Murtaugh, Vice President of Engineering at Boston Properties, and Helen Han, Marketing Director at Boston Properties for Embarcadero Center. We're going to talk a little about what the big kickoff will be like this year. Not only will Santa Claus and Mickey and Minnie Mouse be here, which is pretty wonderful in itself, but they'll be joined by many other Disney characters, and there will be lots of fun and free activities for families. Helen will tell us a little more about that in a minute, but first, I want to talk with Danny about how this whole endeavor began, because this is the 30th anniversary of the building lighting ceremony at Embarcadero Center. Tell us a little of the background, Danny. What was the genesis of this whole idea of lighting up buildings?
Well, it actually started back in the mid-1980s. A property manager and a chief engineer here at the Embarcadero Center at the time had seen a building in Texas that had lights on the outside of it. And so they sat down over cocktails and started talking about the possibility of lighting up the Embarcadero Center. And literally, with a cocktail napkin, they sketched out an idea. And that idea was brought up to senior management, and it got some traction. And pretty soon, the birth of the concept was put into play. They agreed that they wanted to try this exercise, and they raced that year to assemble an engineered product and then find the materials and source it and actually install it on the building. And it was very much a grassroots effort the first year putting it together. It took 1,000 hours plus of people's time on the side of the building, not to mention the professional time behind the scene engineering the system so that it would support an exterior lighting installation.
Are the lights up all year, or do you put them up every year? They're installed, right?
No, the lighting system is classified as a temporary lighting system. So by the code, we have to actually take it down and put it up every year, which adds to the amount of hours that is spent.
So how long does it take to do that every year?
We've done some rough calculations over the years, and it's approximately 1,000 man hours per building per year. And that includes pulling them out of storage, testing them, conditioning them up on the roof, and then preparing them to be installed. And then the multiple trips up and down the side of the building to install the brackets, to install the steel cable, to install the lighting cords, and then to finally screw the bulbs in and then connect them all to a power source.
Okay, so here's the big question. How many light bulbs are there?
17,000.
17,000. And I want to know what makes them so bright. I live across the bridge now, and it's so wonderful to drive into San Francisco and see this lighted up, and you can see it from so far away.
Interestingly enough, when we started, lighting technology wasn't very far along back in the mid-80s. We actually used what was classified as an appliance bulb or a refrigerator bulb at 15 watts incandescent light, which people don't recognize that term anymore. And so we had 15-watt light bulbs that gave it that yellowish glow, like that of a Christmas tree lit up. And so that was the source of the brightness. And then over the years, technologies like fluorescent and LED started to evolve and get really viable. And so now, for 0.75 watts, we're getting an LED light output that is far brighter than our original incandescent, not to mention that it uses far less energy.
It sounds like you now have a very environmentally friendly setup. Were there challenges, Danny, in making such a big project sustainable?
From an environmental standpoint, I would say we had very limited challenges because we reuse the system every year, so we're not generating waste. We only have the lights on at night during the lower peak periods of the day, so they're not on during the day when everyone is using energy. And so it's a very sustainable, very energy efficient process and program that we put together.
And literally millions of people enjoy it every year. I remember when it first came on, I had never seen anything like that before. Lighted up buildings. And it's still, as I said, it's still one of my favorite things to see at the holiday season. Danny, could you tell me a little bit about the history of how this has evolved and changed over the years since 1986, the first year?
Well, the first few years, it wasn't a very public display or event, and very few people, if any, actually came down to watch the lights being lit. Then around 1992, the ice rink was added to the equation, and the ice rink generated a lot of celebrity in its own because people's fancy of an ice rink in San Francisco, where it's just not climate sensible. And when we added the ice rink, we added the concept of a lighting ceremony. So in the first year, we literally turned on the lights. We went up to a hotel room in the Hyatt Regency, and we celebrated with some hors d'oeuvres and cocktails and looked out the balcony, and we all admired our work and said, what a great job. And we did that for a few years like that. And then as the ice rink came on, it started to get more popular because who'd ever heard of an ice rink in San Francisco before, an outdoor ice rink anyway? And then today it's grown into this amazing event that thousands of people come to every year. And when you go through the crowds that night and you talk to families, they remember coming as a child, and now they're bringing their children. So it's amazing to hear those stories, and the popularity has grown exponentially in the subsequent years. And now we have the Winter Carnival, which is very fun for the smaller children. There's four blocks of activities and fun that all lead up to the main event, which now has a lot of characters and actors, and Disney is here every year, and Hawaiian Airlines is sponsoring every year. It's a great celebration. And when the celebration goes off, somebody actually throws a switch and turns all 17,000 lights on. And then there's fireworks in the sky right in downtown San Francisco, which is pretty amazing.
Helen, maybe you could tell us a little bit about what the carnival has evolved into and what it will be like this year.
Yeah, the carnival started taking place around the same time as the building lighting ceremony. On the street levels throughout Embarcadero Center, we have Santa, face painting, train rides, a petting zoo. I mean, all of this is completely free to the public, and we love doing it every year, and we just love to start off the San Francisco holiday season with everyone.
So this is the kickoff event for the holiday season, is that right?
It is, in fact, by mayoral proclamation, the official lighting of Embarcadero Center is considered the official kickoff to San Francisco's holiday season.
And the event occurs Friday, November 18th, 4 o'clock. Is that when things start?
4 p.m. is when the carnival begins, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then there's a free ice show beginning at approximately 5:30, 5:45. And that leads into the lighting that happens a little bit before 7 p.m. We have all kinds of fun activities that happen on the ice. And then there's a large countdown with everyone in the crowd. The lights go on and the fireworks go off.
A countdown. So it's almost like New Year's Eve in a way.
Yes, we have a large countdown with big screens with the numbers on it.
Helen, there's a philanthropic aspect to this, too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Boston Properties definitely believes in being a huge part of our community and being involved in the communities that we exist in. So over the past 10 years, we've given over, I would say, $1.3 million to local charities, not only in San Francisco, but throughout the Bay Area. And obviously, the night of building lighting, we also give a check in honor of whoever city official or community group pulls our switch.
Danny, do you have any inside information for people who might be coming to the carnival?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a little known secret about the best vantage point to watch the celebration. And while the Winter Carnival and the ice shows and skating shows are all great to see, when it gets close to lighting time, you really want to go over across the street, either at the Ferry Building sidewalk or on the mid-block sidewalk, and stand there. You get the best view of all four buildings coming on and the best fireworks view for the whole show. When you huddle in too tight, you get a very limited window. Out there, you get to see the whole perspective. And it's a great celebration. And remember, this is a 100% free event. So it's a great way to spend a Friday night with your family. After the celebration is over and the buildings are lit and the fireworks have gone off, you can come right back over to the ice rink. They'll have public skating available at 8 p.m. There's 4 hours of free parking. We have over 2,200 parking stalls available. Not to mention that we are very closely coupled with BART, Muni, and all other forms of transportation, including ferries coming in at the Ferry Building or the foot of Market Street.
Okay, terrific. So people should be able to get in, get themselves here and situated. And then they'll be here at what is the first and largest outdoor skating rink in the Bay Area.
That is correct.
Not only the first and largest, absolutely the most beautiful. You cannot find this anywhere else, and I'm sure looking forward to it this year. Thank you so much, Danny, for being here with us.
Thank you very much.
And thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
After I spoke with Danny and Helen, I found some ice skaters who were enjoying an afternoon at the outdoor rink. Here are Cynthia McDermott and 15-year-old William. You're skating here at the Embarcadero Center. Have you been here before?
Yeah, we come every year since these kids were small.
Your name is William?
Yeah.
And how long have you been coming here?
Like 10 years.
What are your memories from being here?
Falling down, having fun.
Georgia Stalrico, who's here with her mom, Gina, agrees.
What's your name?
Georgia.
And Georgia, you were just out there skating. Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
How does it feel to be ice skating in San Francisco with the blue sky overhead?
It's really fun.
It's a perfect day for skating.
Stephanie Rawalski loves it too. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Great, I'm having a great time skating today.
How long have you been coming here?
I've been coming every year for probably the past 16, 17 years. And at 59 years old, that says a lot.
Well, this is one of the only places in the Bay Area you can skate outdoors.
It's magical. You get the fresh air, people walking by, the birds. It feels like you're actually on a lake. You can't beat the feeling of the freedom of the skating. It's perfect.
Sounds like you love it.
The other nice thing about skating here is at night, the buildings are lit up. It's like twinkling stars, and the crowd energy is fun because you're outdoors and the sparkling. You can't beat the experience.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez. Melissa Corbin reporting, Tennessee. Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada. Kim Schneider from Michigan. Elaine Masters in San Diego. Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon. Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas. And Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
Sure, it's Christmas.